From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Well, it's Friday night into Saturday, so later on tonight, we'll have those open lines for you. Here's what's happening. Health officials are appealing again for emergency funding money to fight the mosquito-borne Zika virus. But they are encountering some resistance from some lawmakers who want to use the extra money previously earmarked for Ebola to stay that way. President Barack Obama's administration has asked Congress for $1.9 billion to boost preparedness and respond to Zika, which is that virus which is passed on by infected mosquitoes, and apparently it's creating birth defects around this planet. Seven people have died and nearly two dozen others have been hospitalized in California's Sacramento County after overdosing on fentanyl. Fentanyl is a painkiller, much stronger than morphine, and can produce a very euphoric high, according to the Los Angeles Times. Be very careful with that. A U.S. drone strike in Somalia most likely killed Hassan Ali Dor, a senior leader of the terror group of Al-Shabaab, who had planned attacks that killed three Americans overseas, but as soon as they kill one, another one will take his place. In the face of mounting threats from North Korea, President Barack Obama has urged closer scrutiny and ties among its chief allies in Asia and increased cooperation with strategic rival China to discourage North Korea from further advances in its nuclear weapons program. All eyes on Wisconsin this weekend, as they're all campaigning and all five candidates on both sides packing their schedules in the Badger State in hopes of securing some undecided votes ahead of Tuesday's primary. Howard Bloom with us, the human mind. Howard, I'm beginning to sense something very strange going with the Republican primary and the Donald Trump campaign. Are you sensing that too?
Oh, it's stranger than strange, George. First, let's look at the normal news. The normal news is that there are likely to be upsets in Tuesday in Wisconsin. Ted Cruz in two different polls is leading Donald Trump, in one poll only by 1%, which is insignificant, but in another poll by 10%. And on the Democratic side of things, Bernie Sanders is leading Hillary Clinton in two polls, in one poll by 5% and in one poll by 6%. But the real deal, the real abnormal news, is the panic in the Republican power structure. And especially, you recall that the Koch brothers got together a bunch of billionaire donors and committed close to $1 billion to this campaign.
Yes.
And then when Jeb Bush went down in flames and Marco Rubio went down in flames, they lost total control. So this is what, according to the Daily Beast, they are planning. Hold on to your socks. It is called the 12th Amendment Operation. For all practical purposes, it is a billionaire coup to subvert the democratic process. They would run a third-party slate of candidates, possibly Tom Coburn, Condoleezza Rice, and picking one Democrat. That Democrat would probably be Jim Webb. They would run that slate only in about 5 to 6 states. Their goal would be to take enough Electoral College delegates away from Trump and away from Clinton so that neither could get a majority. Now, if neither Clinton nor Donald Trump gets a majority in the Electoral College, the 12th Amendment to the Constitution says that the election is thrown over to the House of Representatives, which is controlled by the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And this group of unspecified donors, the Koch name has not come up in the story, but it's almost certainly them, and a couple of major operatives would then take advantage of that to get their own candidates into the White House and take the White House over. So when you get crazy coups of this kind, total subversions of the American democracy, and those are being taken seriously, and they apparently are, if the Daily Beast is correct, then you really have crazy times.
What a mess it's going to be, Howard. What a mess. Well, if you're into smartphones and technology, Walmart is holding a three-month rollback on iPhones and Galaxy smartphones. Customers can save $100 on Apple iPhones or $150 on the Samsung phones through the end of June. I mean, they're just dropping prices like crazy. If you ever wanted a Tesla electric car, you might be able to afford one now. They've dropped the price down to $35,000 for a new Model 3. Already, 115,000 people have paid $1,000 to reserve one of the highly anticipated electric cars. At a price point of $35,000, they'll probably sell a lot of them. China is now the world's largest beer market. That's right, guzzling down more beer than Americans. There you go, a little news you can use. Birds, by the way, fly north for the spring, and humans relying on global positioning satellites to navigate could get a little lost this weekend. Three coronal holes spread across the sun are pointing at the Earth, and that means there could be a lot of problems. By the way, new alien planet boosts three suns. Can you believe this? This is way, way out there, but this planet has three stars around it. It's amazing. And let's check in now with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center on what's new in the skies. What else up there, Peter?
Well, good evening, George. I know there are probably many listeners who think that the 1st of April is the appropriate time for a cluster of UFO reports, but I'm not one of them. Been a lot of very, very interesting events take place. I'll start with a sighting in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, Monday morning, the 28th of March this month, a young woman was driving to work in Glenwood Springs, just out west of Denver, between Denver and Telluride, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She saw a disc hovering in the daylight sky. She couldn't tell how far away it was until it dropped down slowly into the forest. Only then could she get some perspective on it. She estimates it was 6 to 10 feet in diameter with a double row of red lights on it. That report is posted. Coast listeners might enjoy taking a look at that one. Very interesting. About 6 hours later, a gentleman was sitting at his dining room table in Tucson, Arizona. Very impressive credentials as an observer. He says 3,000 hours as a military pilot in various types of aircraft. Suddenly his whole dining room just went dark, very dark. He was so intrigued by this, he stood up, he went outside, looked into the daytime sky. There was no cloud that was thick enough or big enough to have caused the phenomenon he saw. Suddenly he saw a very, very bright white light emanating from the sky above him. I'll leave it to the Coast listeners to read that report. It appears that there was some kind of interaction between that white object and one or perhaps two hawks hovering in the sky above him. Very interesting report. Same day, in fact, about the same time that that gentleman was experiencing what I've just described in Tucson, very dramatic sighting of nine orange fireballs. There they are again in Islamabad, Pakistan. Guy wrote a very nice report in very good English, very good description of one of these clusters of orange lights. Same thing happened a few hours later, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We're getting a lot of reports of red, orange, and yellow lights from Myrtle Beach and Horry County, South Carolina. These objects were seen by four teachers who were on vacation in Myrtle Beach. They provided us with a very nice photograph. I just checked the website before broadcast tonight, and it looks like there's been some snafu with the photo. We'll get it straightened out over the weekend here. And finally, I'll close with a very, very interesting report from Salt Lake City this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Gentleman was standing outside admiring the daytime sky, many, many contrails crossing the sky, he reports. Suddenly, his attention was drawn to about, he estimates, 70 or 80 white objects hovering above. At first, he took them to be swans or perhaps white geese, continued to watch them for a short period of time, then he quickly realized that they were above the contrails being formed by high-altitude aircraft. It's about then that all of the objects, he asserts, appeared to start strobing in sympathy with one another, the whole flock of them strobing, and as quickly as he recognized that, they all seemed to suddenly just disappear from his sight. Has no idea where they went or why they disappeared. He stood there for another 10 minutes looking, scanning the sky, hoping to see them again, and he did not. So a lot of things going on, George. I encourage the Coast listeners to keep their eyes open and keep them directed towards the sky.
You got it. Peter, thanks. Have yourself a great weekend. A year ago, we made history on this program when I interviewed the world's only living three-headed person, Walter, Raquel, and Bobo. They're from Indianapolis. For a career, they are greeters at a major store. It was probably one of the most riveting interviews I've ever done. They were in my Los Angeles studio. Something has happened this year. Something tragic. In a moment, we'll talk about the three-headed person on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Now, last year, of course, we also made history when we posted on the coasttocoastam.com website this incredible picture of the three-headed person, the people from Indianapolis. Walter, of course, Raquel Elvira, they call her Elvira because of her striking dark hair, and Bobo. And, of course, they're siblings because they were together. They are the only living three-headed person on the planet. And they were in the Los Angeles area last year, and I was able to get them in the studio. And, well, we had that incredible picture that went all over the country. Well, there's another picture posted on the coasttocoastam.com website right now. It is not for the faint of heart, but it is there of the three-headed person. Now, we're going to bring in Elvira. I'm going to call you Elvira if I can, Raquel, because everybody else does, all your friends do. And Bobo, you have something to tell us, Elvira.
Yes, we do, George.
What happened?
It's with great sadness that we let you know. Bobo, please, you announce this. It's too hard on me.
Hi, Bobo.
Hey, George. Walter passed away in February.
I'm sorry to hear that. We had heard something, and I really questioned whether I was going to bring you two back on again. But I want everyone to know you two insisted that you wanted to come on and talk about Walter, because this was important to you. So I just want people to know that I'm not trying to take advantage of you two in this sad moment for you. But I've got a lot of questions because I've looked at this picture on the coasttocoastam.com website. And there's Elvira, there's Walter, and there's you, Bobo. Walter is dead. First of all... You've got a head, Walter. He's between you two. I mean, my God, what's it like?
Well, George, we're beside ourselves with grief because what had happened was I woke up in early February. And Walter was the one who snored the loudest. Well, I noticed it was awfully quiet. So I woke Bobo and I said, Bobo, please, can you see what's going on your side with Walter?
I was calling him and he never answered. He never moved. His eyes never opened. He just was there.
So he's dead.
He died of an aneurysm, was the official autopsy report.
Now, for some reason, biologically they cannot remove the head, yet it doesn't decay like a normal person who had died would, because it is still receiving nutrients and things from your body, the
Correct.
Body that the three of you share. So I've got to ask you, I mean, Bobo, I mean, you three, and we'll get into what you two now are doing for a living, if you're still at the store as greeters, but I mean, do you cover him up or I mean, I looked at the picture at coasttocoastam.com. What do people say?
Well, when we go to our job, George, remember how he loved baseball?
Yes.
Especially cap night.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I got him a St. Louis Cardinal hat.
Oh.
And he loved it when I had that sent to him.
And he wore that hat every day. Ah. We'd be in the house, the hat was on, watching TV. Walter, take the hat off.
But
no,
George
gave it to me.
He was just so thrilled. Thank you so much for doing that, George.
You know, I love all of you. But he was very special to us because he had a sense of humor about him. Every once in a while, he would, and I guess the two of you knew this because you were there, but he would call Tom up, our producer, and they would chat over the year. And they got to be very close, almost like brothers. It was truly amazing. But now in this case, when you get closer than us, George. Well, that's true.
Speaking of close... George, just a second. Bobo,
yeah.
Can you move Walt's head a little bit?
Yeah.
It's he's putting a strain on my shoulders.
See, you're in our Los Angeles studio right now. I wish I were there, but I'm in St. Louis. I've got to ask you, I mean, do you cover up his head when you go out?
We have to.
Of course you have to.
We have to.
Because the picture I'm looking at, it's not something you want to look at every day, sorry to say.
Pretty much what we, as you know, all our clothes have to be custom. So we have a custom, like a few custom, like hoodie jackets, and we could just put the hoodie over his head. Yeah, and cover him up.
Now, Elvira, you have talked to a number of specialists, and do they all tell you that they cannot have the head removed?
Actually, George, they can, but we don't want to.
Well, now, wait a minute. Are you saying that medically they can do it? Because everyone has told us they can't do it. Are you saying you found a doctor who would do this?
Now that he is officially dead.
Yeah, we found one that said that,
yes,
that it can, it was, you know, some chances. And
but you two don't want it removed?
I wanted it, but because it's just hard and...
Elvira wants
just,
the head there?
No,
well, our parents.
Mom and Dad.
Yes, they don't want it removed. As much as it breaks their heart to look over and just see him hanging down.
I don't recall asking you how old you all were last year, but I think it's really important to know just how old are you?
Well, we turned 52. We were 51.
Well, that's young. That's young.
But if you remember from the last interview, he played a lot of dodgeball, and he wasn't as quick in his movements, so he got hit in the head a lot.
What about you two?
Well,
I mean, you were there too, right?
We all got hit.
We all got hit. But poor Walt was in the center.
Yeah, well,
and we were able to have a little more flexibility.
Yeah, he couldn't dodge away as much as you two could.
And we noticed, like, some of his brain function, his memory, his recall was slightly off. Because, as you know, our mom is African-American and mm-hmm. our father is Caucasian.
Right.
But the last time we were here, at the end of the interview, it was like Walt had gotten mixed up and said that our father.
Yeah, he had that reversed. I remember that.
And so that kind of caught Bobo's and my attention.
That something was wrong?
Sort of.
Ah.
And then other things. It was like he wasn't so quick thinking as he used to be.
Well, I'm going to, can you stay for another 30 minutes for phone calls?
Yeah, sure.
Can you both do that? Well, I guess you both have to do it. One can't stay and the other leave. But we'll take calls with you two about this incredible story and your tragic loss, of course, of Walter, your brother. Folks, if you do have a moment, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. There is a picture there. I do want to warn you, if you're a little faint of heart, don't do it. But it is there. We're going to come back. 30 minutes left. We'll talk with Elvira and Bobo, and we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Buck Wolf joins us. He's the editor of the Huffington Post. He handles the weird news section, so we're going to be talking to him about some strange stories. And in a moment, of course, we'll come back with Elvira and Bobo talking about their life and with their brother Walter's life as well. Walter apparently has now passed on. They are and they were the world's only living three-headed person. They're now down to two. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, and for the rest of this half hour, we will take your phone calls with Elvira and Bobo. They are the remaining living members of the triple-headed person. And Elvira, with Walter in the middle between you and Bobo, I mean, is it strange for you, or have you gotten used to this now that he's passed on?
No, it's still rather strange. I almost expect him to, like, jerk his head back up and start talking again. He's just kind of flopping, and he either leans a little bit too much on my side or a little bit too much on Bobo's side.
Do you two, you and Bobo, do you kind of fight about that? Push Walter's head back and forth?
Sometimes, but I think Bobo and I are still grieving.
It was my impression that Walter was kind of really the rock between you two, literally, and his personality and his demeanor. I would guess you two miss that.
I just miss his wisecracks more than anything, and just him.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Funny guy indeed. And how, both of you, I mean, how is the health of the body you share? I mean, are you in good shape? Are you okay?
Well,
oddly
enough, since our heart and blood supply doesn't have to go to like three heads now,
you have just one heart, right?
Correct. It's like we are getting, for me, I feel a little bit more energy.
Same. And,
really?
Yes, because like I said, we're getting more blood oxygen to our brains.
Now, what happens, God forbid, but it will happen. It's a fact of life. When one of you goes, the other one will be left alone. I guess you'll just have to carry on, huh?
Carry on, exactly.
That's a nice way to put it.
I didn't mean to put it like that, but I guess you'll have to.
George, I'm looking at him right now, and I just got to give him a quick little kiss. We miss you all.
Go to Walter. Well, he was fun. Let's take some calls, okay? You two ready for that? And and you still live in Indianapolis?
Yeah, we're not at work. We're just
all right. And
right
obviously,
now,
for obvious reasons, we're not giving your last name.
They're giving us 3 months bereavement.
Oh, the company you work for?
Yes.
Well, that's great. That's great. I mean, I think we talked about this last time, but the three of you were greeters at a major store. But you only got one check, if I recall, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's go to
Walter
the phones.
Used to get so mad about that.
Hey, by the way, next weekend I'm going to be at Cincinnati for a major event. That's at our website, coasttocoastam.com. And David, I hope you're able to come out to our event next weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
I just wanted to call and say hi. I don't know if you guys remember me or not, but every time I go up to Indy from Cincy, I'd stop in L.S. Harris and say hi to you guys. And, it was really interesting watching you all interact. Like, Walter, to be quite honest, not to put him down or anything, but he used to hate that perfume you'd wear. And he said it made him sick sometimes. And you guys would argue a little bit about that, I remember. And Elvira was a vegan. And Walter loved the corned beef sandwiches from Shapiro's.
Oh, that's right.
So one time I went down and brought you one up, and he was being ornery, and he ate the thing right in front of you, and you were just looking at it so nasty.
That got
on our uniform.
Thanks, David. Do you two remember that?
That got on my uniform.
Oh.
I was so mad at him because of that.
I got to say one thing. I love animals, but we were never able to get a cat because of the fact that Walter had the major allergies.
Oh, he was allergic to cats.
Yes, but now that he is...
Well, you may get a cat.
Yes, I'm going to get a cat.
And what other pets did you two have growing up as kids? I mean, did you have goldfish, turtles, anything like that?
Really nothing.
No, nothing really.
Yeah, because it was just...
We entertained ourselves.
Exactly.
I mean, wasn't...
Well, I guess in the Indianapolis area, are you that well known? Because, you know, here's David. He's from Cincinnati, but he treks to Indianapolis, and he knows you folks. God knows how many others are out there that know you. But, I mean, have you gotten much media publicity in Indiana and Indianapolis?
Here we go.
We're talking over each other again.
Not much. I mean, we like to keep a low, you know, just keep to ourselves.
But they're aware of you, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
As we have told you before, in our town, they know us. They accept us. We're not an oddity to them.
See, I had gotten last year a letter from somebody in Indianapolis who was telling me about you three. I thought it was a joke, but he had some contact information there, and we were able to talk to you, and my producers, the executive producer Lisa Lyon and our senior producer Tom Danheiser, they both called you three up. They've been talking with you. Tom was very instrumental in providing the accommodations to get you folks here to Los Angeles last year. But, you know, there were some people who knew about you, but you're right, Bobo. You have, for the world's only three-headed person at the time, you three remained very, very quiet and confidential and low-key.
It's just how we are, man. Like if I ever said, like, the town accepts us. We're us. That's it. We're just us. Normal people, go to work, everything.
Your parents are both alive.
Yes.
They're taking this very, very hard, George.
Oh, they must. Oh, they must, especially your mother. And
But
can you imagine?
Kind of proves my point that I think he was her favorite.
I think so, too.
Now, let me tell you about parents. We all love our children the same. We like, they have different personalities. I mean, I relate. I've got two daughters and a son. I love them all the same. But, you know, you relate differently to each one of them. And that's probably how they reacted with you three. You know, you were all loved the same, but, you know, they just treated you three differently in certain ways. So let's go to Bev in Dayton, Ohio, first-time caller. Hi, Bev. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I love your show.
Thank you.
I was almost in tears when I heard about Walter. I have two questions, one for Bobo and then one for Elvira. Elvira, are you able to or ever planning on having children? Is it possible?
I can't even think of that right now. I'm just still suffering from losing my brother.
But I mean, medically, can you have a kid?
No, I can't.
You can't, okay.
Okay, and Bobo, since you have male and female both there, who are you going to vote for when, because of women's rights and all these other type of things. And before you answer that question, George, I want to thank you very much for doing this program considering the holiday.
Thank you, Beth. Appreciate you being part of the program.
I love the program. I'm listening every night. I should be sleeping sometime.
Oh, no. Don't go to sleep. Hey, so do you two... I mean, or three. Do you get one vote or three votes whenever you vote?
One.
At the time?
Just one.
One.
Just one vote. Yeah, but you have three that you had at the time, three distinctive brains, three thinking people.
But only one body.
Yeah.
And when you go to the polling place,
they
don't count your heads, they count the body. So we just have one body.
That doesn't sound fair.
It's not, because we disagree all the time. A lot of different topics.
That brings up an interesting question. Who do you vote for? And when I say that, I don't necessarily want an individual's name, but if Elvira, you wanted some, I mean, did you three like vote and then the two out of three won, or how did that work?
Well, as you remember, I'm the dominant one.
Yeah.
So it basically,
no matter what we said, she always
got the last word in, huh? Uh-huh. Or the last vote in, as we would say.
Correct.
Let's go to Jim. He's truck driving in California. Welcome to the program, Jim. You're on with Elvira and Bobo.
Yes, I know all three of them. They know I have this new job, but I haven't talked to you guys in about 20 years. I used to, I met you guys at Six Flags, and I was dating Walter, and ended up leaving Walter, and me and Elvira started dating for about a year, and then I just wanted to call in and say I'm sorry for your guys' loss, and I haven't kept in touch in 20 years, and so I just want to apologize.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. Elvira, do you remember Jim? He used to date you.
I remember all the men I've dated.
How many have there been?
Yeah, me too.
And I know the women you've dated, Bobo.
Well, I would say, do you, like Bobo, do you like the guy she dates, and do you tell her that, or the guy she doesn't like, that you don't like, do you tell her that?
We can kind of sense that, like, being, you know, together for so long, like, we can sense each other, so I don't necessarily have to say anything. She would just go look at me and just give me this look, and I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. She'd just go, Bobo, be nice, and all right.
If you get sick, do you both get sick or just one of you gets sick?
Well, we discussed that the last interview. Mm-hmm. It's like if I have a cold, Bobo might get sniffles or sore throat. Yeah. But headaches, those are each separate. Those are separate ailments.
When you flew out here, because I didn't make the arrangements, but did we end up having to pay for three tickets?
No.
Or two tickets?
Not at all. It was a local friend of ours took care of all that, so it was real low-key. We didn't have to worry about walking through the airport or anything like that. It was real low-key.
Let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Deanna's with us now on Coast to Coast. Hello, Deanna. Good to have you with us.
Hi. How are you guys?
I guess they're really okay sick under the circumstances.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm really sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I had kind of a weird question. Since I know it's the three different heads all connected to the same central system, are you able to both take over at some point, taking over with like the hands and the arms and the legs, or do you both communicate walking and moving around?
Well,
that's a good question.
I'm the left hand and Bobo is the right.
And Walter was in the middle, so he had no control over the arms?
Well, he had the legs, but Bobo kind of quickly figured out how we can maneuver.
I just think that the fact is just something that just happens. Like I don't really think about it. It's just what I'm used to.
Was there a time ever that the three of you were able to communicate via telepathy?
No. I mean, we might have the same like.
We communicate by giving each other looks.
Yeah. Like, it might be times where, like, we might be thinking the same thing, but I wouldn't think of it as telepathy.
Well, now,
I never thought of it that far.
I've got to ask you, with Walter in the middle, and I guess the picture I just saw at coasttocoastam.com, his head is kind of, you know, bent down a little bit.
But our dear Walter.
I guess now you can see Bobo, Elvira.
Oh.
We've always been able
to see each other, because it's like if Walter had fallen asleep.
Which he did a lot,
especially the past few months.
Well, you can't blame him.
Before he passed, Bobo and I would converse. So it's like we know what each other look
what,
like.
What were his, I guess he died in his sleep.
Yes, I hope it was a good dream he was having.
So you really never had a chance to hear his last words or anything like
that?
I heard his last snore.
Went to sleep as normal and she woke me up, and Bobo, I don't hear anything. And
normally you do.
Yeah.
So.
Normally. I heard it if he was awake.
when you have to go to the bathroom, I mean, do you all get that urge to go to the bathroom, or just one of you?
I don't know. I've never really thought about it. I just know we got to go to the bathroom.
You just go to the bathroom.
Yeah, we just go. Yeah.
All right. Let's go next to Galen in Greenville, South Carolina. Hi, Galen. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks. I love your show. And Elvira should remember me because she may have a chance to marry me now, since Walter was the one that didn't really agree with the engagement. Elvira, do you remember going to Charleston on the coast?
I do.
Know Bobo does.
I like I said, I remember all my boyfriends.
Oh my God. Are you still interested in her, Galen?
Yes, because Walter was the one that disagreed with it, and you had to take all three at once, but now it's two, and me and Bobo had a good time, you know, doing the frisbee, everything on the beach in Charleston, and Elvira, if you still have the same feelings that I do, I'm here for you.
Well, that's wonderful. That's, what a small world. What a huge show to be able to find somebody who's actually listening, who had a relationship with you, Elvira. Did you like Galen?
Yes, I did.
Huh. Would you like us to get his number later?
I don't think right now's
the time. If it's meant to be, he and I will definitely.
We still need to figure out what we're going to do with Walter. So once we figure all this out, we can go from there.
Well, that's a good point. We only have a couple minutes left, and before we take final calls, I want to express on behalf of my staff and everybody at Coast to Coast our deepest condolences.
Thank you.
You know, we were going to do a follow-up call with the three of you because it was just kind of neat, and I got this incredible response last year. I mean, it was huge. I mean, we did, in some markets that we're in, 40 or 50 share of the audience. I mean, it was huge. And I wanted to have you back. And then Tom was beginning to hear things that Walter had been ill, and then, of course, you know, he passed on. I really can't express my sympathy enough. Is there anything we can do for you here?
Oh, George, just be so kind and
keep us in prayer, ma'am.
And yes, especially for our parents. We worry about them.
And they're back in Indianapolis listening to you right now on our station.
I'm sure they are.
And they're a little bit much more overprotective of Bobo and I because they're afraid of losing us.
You know, let's go to Jeff in California. Jeff, I got about a minute left. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Awesome, George. I'm listening to you on that KFBK 1530 AM out of Sacramento.
Thank you, sir.
The flamethrower. Anyway, I just wanted to express my condolences to the loss of their brother.
Thank you.
And especially to their parents. And I hope the good Lord eases their pain.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. That's very,
that was very kind
very
of you.
Kind of you. Well, look, have a safe trip back to back to Indianapolis from Los Angeles. If there's anything we can do for both of you, just stay in touch with Tom, if you would. And, you know, we're at your beck and call if you need us.
Elvira,
thank you.
Thank you.
Our dear Walter, I just got to give him another kiss. We miss you all.
Okay. I will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to be talking with Buck. That's right. Buck Wolf. He is the executive editor of the Huntington newspapers, digital newspapers these days, the Huffington Post. And he deals primarily with weird news. So we'll talk with him.